Hello, everybody.
Hello, Phil.
Hi, Phil.
Hey, Phil.
So I say to the true members, if you have anything specific that you'd like to discuss today, we're free to. But I have a feeling I'm going to just go on a little bit of a rant, and I think with good intention. But it's just, I guess I'm emotionally impacted by the polarization that I'm seeing. And it happened at the beginning of this whole COVID thing. And then, of course, it amplified as, you know, we were dealing with elections. And I don't want to say I got used to it, maybe calloused, but I become accepting of it. But then it just raises its ugly head right in front of my face. And I just feel like, I don't know if it's a vent, but I just want to point out how polarized people are so that we could not be, so that we could really be sensible about the way we approach our careers in the future, and health. So before I go down this road, does anybody have anything specific they wanted to talk about today related to the TRU program? Okay, so let's talk about science, the concept of science. Because I hear the word a lot now. What does it really mean? Well, I pulled a dictionary definition. It is the intellectual and practical activity encompassing the systemic study of the structure and behavior of the physical and natural world through observation and experimentation. Now, it's a lot of words here, but if you read it, you go, yeah, well, that's accurate. That's what science is. Intellectual, yeah, we learn stuff, and now we have data. But also practical, because based on the science, we learn that we can invent something that makes ice cubes out of water, right? We figure it out based on the science. And this is how things exist in the physical and natural world, which are not necessarily the same. They overlap, because not everything physical is natural, and not everything natural is physical, through observation, which means we've got to pay attention, and experimentation. And just the very nature of that word, experimentation, being in the definition, means it isn't fixed. If we're going to experiment, we're testing a theory, we're testing an idea, we're testing a hypothesis, we're trying to validate a previous study that might have shown something to be true. Now, I never liked science in school, probably because I didn't like my science teachers, although I did like when Mr. Sussman stood up on the desk and dropped a bowling ball to teach us about physics. That was cool. But even as a kid, I loved like those little educational kits. Do you guys hear some noise? I don't know where it's coming from, but star six, if you're talking or you have some noise in the background. I love little educational kits where either it was like just getting seeds and growing plants or even watching an ant farm. Like, I was always fascinated by those kind of things. And I like to do little science experiments, although not the kind that we did in school. I loved seeing in school, there were certain days that I remember where we saw how when you put iron filings on a vibration plate and you change the vibration, it changes the pattern. Like, that was cool. And I loved understanding how things worked, and most of all, I came to understand that we learn not just from school, but through trial and error. So although science wasn't fully my thing in school, I liked the concept of science. I just didn't like the structured learning. Now, clearly, I studied biology, I took chemistry classes, but really, science for me was an exploration of the world, and part of it needed to be experiential. Not just read about it, not just learn about it in school, but figure things out. So, you know, when I was a kid, I'm a lefty, and I was really good at a layup on the left side, but I sucked. I couldn't hit a layup on the right side. So I practiced, and I learned to do a layup with my left hand on the right side, and I got really good at it. But that was science. It was trial and error. It was an exploration of, does this work? Does this work better? You know, holding the bat at different positions in softball to see if I could hit farther. That's science. Mark, I think you'll agree, much of self-defense is science, right? It's a physical sport, but there's a whole lot of science involved. Just the concept of chi is science, right? Energy.
Yes. And there's a ton of physics about the movement of the body and contact points, and yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And if you watch, like, the original UFC fights from early on, when it was called the Ultimate Fighting Challenge, they would just stick two maniacs in a cage, they'd beat each other up. If you look at that and you look at what it's evolved to, you can see the importance of experimental science. You know, when you watch some of the MMA fighters, UFC fighters today, they're friggin' scientists. We don't think of it that way. They're not using a test tube. But there's a lot of experimentation, and they figure it out. Formulating the nutritional supplements that I came out with years ago was science. And then making it taste good once we had the formula without sugar, that was science. I like Thrive because it's built on science that I understand and agree with. Right now I'm in my facility. My entire facility is built on science. We have hyperbaric oxygen. We have cryotherapy. It's science. So suffice it to say that while I don't have the academic credential to validate it, and I'd never use it as a name for myself, I am a scientist to some degree, as I think you guys are as well. The reboot, the seven-day miracle, the strength and growth phase, circadian nutrition, all of them came out of experimentation, thus all of them came out of science. My degree is in exercise science. So I'm not asking any of you to immerse yourself in the study of science as I do. But I want to start out by making sure that everyone here knows that what I share, primarily, is fact. Based on a preponderance of the evidence. You've heard me talk about marketing. You've heard me talk about strategies. But it's never, hey guys, here's a random idea. Or, hey, I met a guy on a plane who told me this works. Everything I share is based on fact, things that I've actually seen, things that I've proven, things that I've demonstrated. It's based upon a preponderance of evidence. So if I go back to the definition of science and we consider what I said earlier, the word experimentation suggests that conclusions may be in flux. What we decide is true today is only based on what we know so far. What we once believed to be true, like the Earth is the center of the universe and everything rotates around the Earth, with the study of science often becomes a flawed assumption. And with that flawed assumption, Galileo was put in prison. But guess what? He was right. The science hadn't proven it yet. We've spoken about relationships. I have many. But in that conversation, I told you to find yourself people that you want in your circle. I surround myself with people who are far greater experts in various disciplines than I'll ever be. In the 90s, when I did a radio show, my go-tos were my friends Dr. Michael Colgan, PhD, and Dr. Anthony Almada, PhD, biochemist. When it comes to exercise science, I always relied upon Dr. Anthony Abbott, PhD. When it comes to innovative exercise, I had a small circle of up-and-coming exercise scientists. I love learning. I will always be a student. I look back and, you know, even when it came to bodybuilding, I learned a lot just through my own study, my own experimentation. But I never deemed myself an expert. And in the, say, about 1998, my friend Lee Labrada introduced me to his nutritionist, Keith Klein, and we became fast friends. And Keith is probably the best bodybuilding nutritionist on the planet. So when I need advice, I look for it. And when I'm exploring whether something's legit, I ask people. And I don't just ask random people, I ask people in the know. I'm going to keep going just to drill my point home, because as I'm talking, more things are coming into my head. I stayed in the Berkshires, Lenox, Massachusetts, for 5 weeks in 2006 to learn from Dr. Mark Hyman. This wasn't a class. This wasn't a course. This was just me. Mark, introduced me to the man that he called the king of functional medicine, Dr. David Bleiweiss. Now, Dr. Bleiweiss happens to be in South Florida, but I didn't know him until Dr. Hyman introduced us. He said, this is the guy I learned from. Dr. Bleiweiss shared an office years ago with Dr. Mark Rosenberg, who I became friendly with, and he's one of the most aggressive and innovative experts I've ever met in curing cancer. My business partner is Dr. Kristen Camella, stem cell biologist. So in my circle, I have biochemists, I have a professor of pharmacology, I have a great many physicians, and this is why I always tell you guys, like, we've got to connect with doctors, PhDs in various fields ranging from sports psychology to cellular biology. So when I'm confronted with a new scenario, like a Parkinson's diagnosis, which was wrong, or chemical toxicity, which I experienced, or mold toxicity, which I experienced, or a new client who shows up with a condition that I've never heard of, or a new client who's taking drugs I never heard of, or something like a pandemic, I reach out to those who are wiser than myself to get answers. And that brings us to now. The coronavirus. There's nobody in the country, let alone the world, who doesn't know what the coronavirus is. Or at the very least, what they think the coronavirus is based on what they've seen or heard. The coronavirus is not new. It didn't just show up. An understanding of the coronavirus is what led to the flu vaccine. Now, you could argue whatever side you want. This is where the polarization starts about the flu vaccine, but you have to acknowledge that it's built upon science because they worked to understand the coronavirus, because the flu is a coronavirus, as is the common cold. And by understanding the coronavirus, pharmacology, the drug companies, came out with a very effective drug called Tamiflu. And if anyone ever gets the flu, the doctor, any doctor, would prescribe Tamiflu. And that's one of four drugs that were validated through science to reduce flu symptoms by containing or battling the coronavirus. So as a pause point, let's pause and let's understand. The coronavirus isn't new. And with time, legitimate science can come up with remedies. But every single scientific conclusion, every single one, is based on a best guess. Let's also understand that few people die from the flu. Some do, but few. For some, it's fatal, but it's rare, and usually those are people with other risk factors. But people feared the flu more before there was a vaccine and Tamiflu and the other drugs. So the fear was alleviated when the drugs and vaccines came out. So as a society, we fear the flu less. The specific strain of coronavirus we're confronted with now is called novel, the novel coronavirus. The reason it's called novel is because it hasn't been identified in its present form in the past. This wasn't familiar, so it's novel. So to, again, summarize, for pause and for simplicity, let's say the scientific community is very aware of a coronavirus. And a great deal of research has already taken place prior to 2020 about the coronavirus. The sudden and explosive emergence of an unidentified or previously unidentified strain threw scientists into a new realm of study, aggressive study. Like, suddenly there was a mystery and science needed to get on top of it. But the public doesn't seem to understand the preponderance of the evidence concept. They want science to be immediate. They're not comfortable with science being experimentation, although that's what it is. They want answers immediately, and they want science immediately, and unfortunately, the two don't go hand in hand. immediate scientific conclusion is an oxymoron. There's no such thing. Now, beyond the coronavirus, there has been research on antivirals, other viruses, and for 40 years plus, which is why AIDS, which used to be a death sentence, is no longer a death sentence, because they've invented antiviral drugs that work to contain the virus. And herpes is kind of a nothing in terms of STDs, because there are antivirals that work. The SARS-CoV virus is right now far more concerning than any other virus because we don't have the science. That's why. But let's recognize that with science, other viruses were remedied. So now let's zero in on COVID-19. On February 11th, 2020, the International Committee on Taxonomy of Viruses adopted the official name SARS, Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome Coronavirus 2, SARS-CoV-2. Novel, new. It hadn't been identified before February 11th, 2020. SARS-CoV-2 is the virus that causes COVID-19. And people died. And it spread. And people panicked. And it spread. And isolation, in a case like that, when you have a pandemic breaking out, isolation from a rational standpoint is the best protection. If there's an infectious virus moving quickly, then the only way to protect yourself in the absence of science is to not be exposed. So it makes sense that isolation was the first strategy employed. Nobody liked shelter at home, but everybody understood why. And it wouldn't make sense to stay at home forever. But the idea from a scientific perspective is let's stop the spread. And in the meantime, let's let our scientists get some answers. Now, with that said, strong human immune systems are conditioned to fight viruses. And even a novel virus brings with it traits that the intelligence of the immune system identifies and isolates and begins structuring antibodies again. So if you are in a state of health with a good, healthy immune system, then in all likelihood, you will overcome this novel virus. But right around the time that we got into this whole isolation thing, the polarity started. The wisest thing to prevent the spread of the virus is isolation. I'm not saying the recommended thing. I'm just saying it makes sense rationally. The wisest thing is isolation, and we have to weigh that out against what does that cost us. And healthy human immune systems can overcome a coronavirus. Both of those things are true. The wisest thing to prevent the spread is isolation, and healthy human immune systems can overcome a coronavirus. Both of those are accurate. That, however, was the beginning of taking sides. Masks versus herd immunity. Shutdowns versus survival of the fittest. It got crazy. I don't polarize. By nature, I don't polarize. I turn to science. Sure, I have emotions. Sure, I at times react, but I don't polarize. I don't get stuck. Emotionally, I was affected by the polarization. Financially, economically, I was affected by the polarization. But it never stopped me from looking to what I know based on a preponderance of the evidence. In March of 2020, Dr. Camella, Dr. Bleiweiss, and I did a webinar discussing what we know. You can still probably find it on YouTube. I think we had about 750 people attend it. The main message wasn't ignore this virus, or go into crowds and don't worry about it, or let's all get herd immunity. But the intention and the main message the three of us intended to relay was the greatest weapon you have is a strong immune system. That's a fact. And in that webinar, we spoke about vitamin C infusions. We spoke about vitamin D. We spoke about clean food, staying away from GMOs. We talked about a healthy gut biome. We talked about antioxidants. And I don't know if any of you guys were there, but in that webinar, Dr. Bleiweiss tactfully hinted at some information that the pharmaceutical companies were intent on keeping secret. He discussed the impact of colloidal silver on the SARS virus. And if you listen, you'll see he was tactful, because there have been doctors who mysteriously died when they challenged what the drug companies wanted to be their truth. Colloidal silver. That's what he spoke about. From research. Not peer-reviewed published research. Research that was taking place at the time. And it appeared that in at least some of the research, colloidal silver was able to eradicate the SARS virus in vitro, in petri dishes, not in people yet. Now, almost exactly 1 month after that webinar, Dr. Bleiweiss was invited to spearhead a one-year project, acting as chief science officer of a company called Immunotech. Immunotech is the company that released a product called Argentin 23. This was a professional-grade bioactive silver that was sold in doctors' offices. And those doctors who opened their minds way before COVID-19, those open-minded progressive doctors who used or experimented with Argentin found it to be effective in many ways. And science doesn't reject the idea of silver. I mean, they use it in a hospital in babies' eyes and infants' eyes to kill bacteria. So to say it's not safe for humans, it's kind of a stretch here. But the drug companies don't want anything put out there that challenges drugs. So in that role, he viewed research and watched. And he didn't manipulate the research. He was their chief science officer interpreting it. In 2020, new experimentation took place specific to this bioactive silver's impact upon SARS-CoV-2. And when I was exposed to that research, it went right onto my list of products I will use daily, and I have ever since. I do a teaspoon of Argentin under my tongue every morning with my Thrive because of the research. Now, if you search the internet, you'll find things like colloidal silver is bullshit, colloidal silver will turn you blue, because there was a case of a guy who consumed ridiculous amounts of it, and he was known as the blue man, but he's the only blue man I ever saw or heard of. But I'm looking at real research validated by a doctor I tremendously respect. So not only did I at that point start using colloidal silver every day, but I also knew that if I ever get COVID, I'm stepping this up. Now, I want to stop here and share a reaction that I didn't expect from an email that I sent out to personal trainers. I didn't ask for a response in the email. There was no reason to respond. I don't know if some of you got the email that I'm talking about. You let me know if you did. You can certainly speak up if you want to.
Yeah.
But you got it?
Yeah.
I got it,
yeah,
too.
Did it bring any reaction in you? And before you answer, let me tell you what's been going on since I sent that email. The reason I sent it is I was rescheduling my 13 Traits webinar.
Right.
And the reason that I was rescheduling it is because I had a recent run-in with COVID-19. I was positive, and I quarantined, which is what you're supposed to do. not because I was too sick to do anything, because I had a contagious condition and I was going to stay away from other people. And in those days of quarantine, I had a pass on a lot of things, obligations that normally I would follow up on. So on the other side of it, once I tested negative, I had so much to do, but I loved it. I was like, I'm back in the world, and I could taste my food again. And I was going like crazy, and you guys know I didn't miss a phone call. I didn't miss a Zoom call. I didn't miss a webinar. I didn't miss a meeting. I didn't miss a staff training. But at a certain point, I just said, I've got to get a little breathing room. So I looked at the things that I could move, and one of them was that webinar. So I said, okay, I'm going to move the webinar from September 1st, which was yesterday, somewhere in there. I rescheduled the webinar, and I explained in the email that a part of the reason was because of this COVID and this quarantine. So 3,600 emails went out. This is a list that I've maintained for years. These were all personal trainers, double opt-in. They wanted to learn from me. They were asked if they do want to, and they said yes. Keep in mind, I didn't ask for any response. There was no reason to respond to the email. Mark, Heather, you guys didn't respond because it didn't ask you to, right?
Right. Correct.
As of this morning, more came in today. I haven't looked at it. 92 replies. Keeping in mind, I didn't ask for a reply. I got 92 replies running the gamut from Phil, you're a hero, to Phil, you're an idiot destroying the world. Now, if you read the email, my guess is you guys are in a good state of neutral open-mindedness, and you understand science, and you're not reactive, and you probably just read the email, go, oh, yeah, Phil had COVID, and this is what he did to beat it, because that's what I shared.
Right. Plus, we knew that you did miss one meeting with us.
Right. In that email, I didn't make any recommendation. I didn't say anyone should do what I did. I'm just saying this is what I did, and as a result, I beat this really quickly. I didn't comment as to whether or not anyone should get a vaccine. Nowhere in that email, nowhere in anywhere did I recommend that somebody should or shouldn't get a vaccine. No, never.
No, you just said what you were doing for yourself and that you did it based on a lot of self-reflection and research that you did for yourself.
Correct. So if somebody just unmuted and now there's noise back, just star 6 again. You can unmute anytime you want. So I have to say I've been blown away. I would even say I've been disheartened. I've been troubled by how polarized our society has become. And I will say this. I would never be a factor in feeding either side. I teach my staff, and any member of my staff will tell you this. I teach them to remain neutral, to never pick a side publicly. I teach my consulting clients to remain neutral, to never pick a side publicly. And I lived by those rules even when the local government forced me to close March 20th, 2020, even when we reopened under a mask mandate, even when that mask mandate soon extended to our staff has to wear a mask, and even when half our members were afraid to leave their homes, I still stayed in a space of open-mindedness, never polarization. Because whichever side you pick, you piss off half the people. Throughout this, I'll say, challenging season, I've listened. I've tried to gauge the climate. I've done Zoom focus groups. I've held medical roundtables. And I've stayed on top of public sentiment, always, always aware of the two sides. And always careful to stay in my lane and not go too far to either side. I speak only what I know. Even knowing the level of polarization that exists today related to guns, the president, abortion, public health, even aware of the absurdities of some of the rantings of extremists on either side, I was surprised by the reaction I got to that email. 92 emails as of this morning. Most of them simply expressed like, hey, congratulations, Phil, glad you beat it, or, you know, gratitude, or they sent well wishes for my very manageable COVID experience. But you guys know how it is. If you do an event and like 99 people say it was great and one person goes, it sucked, you want to, it's the one person that stings. Well, I had more than one person sting me here. I'm going to read just a few of the excerpts from some of the emails that I got in the last 24 hours. These are just excerpts. Some of them are really, really long. Here's one. You go, Phil. You the man. Always telling the truth. I remember your Fitness Truth radio show. Awesome. You always told it like it was, so your refusal to take the vaccine is just what I wanted to hear. The vaccine is bullshit. We know it. It's crazy government takeover shit. And I'm with you. Biden equals biggest idiot Democrats ever nominated. When you need troops to help you fight the big monster, count me in. Now, I don't know how he got that from the email I sent. But I was like, you got to go back and read it, bro. Like, I don't know what email you read. Here's another. And keep in mind, this person read the same exact email. Disappointed does not even begin to describe how I feel. You're misleading people, and people will die as a result. If you tell people that vitamin C is going to prevent COVID, you're a big part of the problem. I don't know. I reread my email a few times. I didn't see in there where I told people that vitamin C will cure or prevent COVID. He goes on to say, I would think someone as educated as yourself would have just got the vaccine. I know you eat healthy and probably aren't immune compromised, and I assume you take your multi every day, but the extra CB really has no scientific data to support it. The same with glutathione. I mean, yeah, it's an antioxidant, but that's not going to cure COVID. And the colloidal silver and the ivermectin, that was a shocker. I don't think I can ever trust you again. Okay. I'll read you one more. You're nothing short of a criminal, and I feel shame for having read your books and believed in you for so many years. You're smart enough to know the vaccine is the solution, and you and your cronies advising people against science will pay in the long run. I'm throwing away everything I ever bought from you, asshole.
Wow.
I'm telling you, this is why I carry this with me all day. I'm like, I don't get it.
Holy cow.
I mean, yeah, and if it were one person, I go, whoa, a crazy person. Seven.
Holy
out of 92,
cow.
Some of them were extreme the other way, where they go, we're behind you, man. Fuck Biden. I'm like, I didn't say that. And then the other extreme is, you're a criminal. And all I did was say, hey, guys, I got COVID. And let me tell you what I did. That's it. But that's how polarized people are. But keep in mind, this is a list of trainers who want to learn from me. And the reactions are just knee-jerk. Like, I know that. Like, they didn't analyze what I said because they read something else. This has nothing to do with what I said. The entire reality is we believe what we believe because we see what we see. And the polarization takes away 20/20 vision. Like when you're locked into Fox News, it takes away your open-mindedness. And also when you're locked into CNN. When you lock into a polarized side, you can't get out of it. You can't see clearly. Galileo was put in jail. Remember that. People read something and they get triggered. And instantly they change what's in front of them to what they hate. Those people didn't read what I wrote. They read what they hate. Somehow they believe that what I wrote was what they hate. And they respond to that irrational hate. It is a true pathology. Polarized opinion and polarized action, it goes against reason. Even Sun Tzu, in writing about war, he talked about winning hearts and minds, not hate. He said understanding your enemy allows you to win their hearts and minds, and then you're the victor. But our society is in a foundationless war with itself. So my advice is, I'm going to say it louder than ever. Stay neutral, guys. Like, respect people's opinions, but don't engage. Because what I'm sharing with you is out there. Now, I'm talking about 7 out of 92 replies or 7 out of 3,600 emails that didn't ask for a reply. So 7 people out of that group were triggered by something I didn't even say, but they imagined I said. So it's really hard to kind of navigate in this environment of hatred. And this is not a microcosm truly of society. This is only trainers. You know, if we go into different fields or different parts of the country, I'm sure the numbers would go up. Now, Mark, Alan, you guys know the reboot is nonpartisan. You know, there's Functional 6, yes. Protein Days, yes. We don't have, like, Republican Day. We don't have, like, today's the day you hang your Trump flag, right? We don't have that. So the reboot is completely nonpartisan. Whether you wear a mask or not, you can do the reboot and get the outcome. So KD Nutrition is the nutritional panacea to polarization, and I mean that. Like, circadian nutrition mellows vegans and carnivores because, you know, in the intake, they sit in front of you and they go, oh, no, I stopped eating meat. No, I only eat plant-based. But when you introduce circadian nutrition, they suddenly have something that makes sense because otherwise they were polarized. They were told something and they took it to an extreme. It would be crazy for me to begin to defend my choices. Like, of course, my first instinct is reply to those emails, but I didn't. But in response to the one that said silver and ivermectin, like that was his last straw, he was done with me, he sent me research, and I'm putting that in quotes, because he called it research. And I think it's important for you guys to know that not everything published is based on a preponderance of the evidence. Science is hard to discern today, especially with Google. So it's really important that those who are going to share the science truly understand it. The research on compounds such as colloidal silver and ivermectin, this isn't new research. It's only new in relation to SARS-CoV-2. But I told you, they came out with Argentin in 2003. So there's been a whole lot of research on these compounds. It's not sudden. But nothing prior to 2020 could have made any judgment on any compound's impact upon COVID-19 because it didn't exist. So I want to go back to that one email. Here's what this guy sent me regarding silver. This was his research that, you know, he's backing up. What an idiot I am. Scientific evidence doesn't support the use of colloidal silver dietary supplements for any disease or condition. Colloidal silver has no known function or benefits in the body when taken by mouth. Colloidal silver is not a nutritionally essential mineral or useful dietary supplement. These are bullet points put out by Mayo Clinic. This is not research. This is not somebody evaluating a true preponderance of the evidence. Silver is not an essential mineral. Okay, nobody's saying it is. Penicillin is not an essential mineral either. But if you get syphilis, you're going to want for penicillin. I've got research, real research, research that I'm privy to the scientists. That was reviewed not only by peers, but by doctors and pharmacologists that I know. I'm not looking at bullet points from Mayo Clinic. Here's something he sent me regarding ivermectin. Ivermectin. Among patients with a non-severe COVID-19 and no risk factors for severe disease receiving a single 400 microgram dose of ivermectin within 72 hours of fever or cough, there was no difference in the proportion of positives. Okay, that's a really isolated conclusion. It's looking at a single dosage. It's looking at very few variables. But here's the interesting thing. That comes from the LA Times. That's not our medical journal. So I'm just saying, like, people are confused. I don't blame him. I really believe he believes that he's reading research, because we form our beliefs based on what we see, and this is what he sees. Most people don't have access to the information I have access to. I realize that. But if these are people who trusted me, you'd think that their response would be, holy shit, maybe Phil saw something that we didn't see. Maybe ask about it, rather than send me bullet points. Now, I just pulled two of the published journal articles that I reviewed related to silver and ivermectin, just so you guys understand, these weren't just immediate, knee-jerk choices that I made. So here's a study that you guys can pull up. It's from a journal called Biochemical and Biophysical Research Communications, Volume 533, Issue 1, 26 November 2020. I won't read you the whole thing. I'll just read you the highlights. Silver nanoparticles inhibit extracellular SARS-CoV-2. 2 nanometers to 15 nanometer size particles showed robust inhibition of SARS-CoV-2. SARS-CoV-2 was inhibited at concentrations above 1 ppm. Argentin is 10 ppm. There's an abstract. The pandemic of COVID-19 is spreading unchecked due to lack of... talks about how they did the study and says, these results indicate... that silver contains highly potent microbicides against SARS-CoV-2. This is research. This is from a journal. This is peer-reviewed. Keep in mind, you can pull up any old research you want. You can't show me anything before February of 2020 that tested anything against this virus. Now, I also pulled one about ivermectin because, again, people, you know, they react. Let me tell you when I first heard of ivermectin. When I did something called the 55 days, I know some of you were connected to, it was online, during the pandemic, during the quarantine, you know, shelter at home. And we just had coaches and ran some programs online, and we had 5,000 people sign up for 55 days. And once a week, Dr. Bleiweiss would do a segment with me where he'd answer medical questions. So throughout the week, people would send me medical questions. So if we went back and looked at the shows, there's one of them where somebody asked about this thing called ivermectin, and it said, my daughter's horse vet sent over these two bottles of ivermectin with syringes. They're used to get rid of parasites in horses, but it cures COVID. And his daughter had COVID, and she was young. And he asked, should I take it? Now, I had never heard of ivermectin at the time. So I said, call me. I just want to have a little bit more information. So he called me. He goes, you know what? I'll send you one of the bottles. I said, okay. So I have a bottle of ivermectin with a picture of a horse and a picture of a cow on it. It's a liquid. It's an injectable. And I showed it to Dr. Bleiweiss. And Dr. Bleiweiss said, I would never give a veterinary product to a human. But... there's some potential in this ivermectin, and it's foolish of people to go get veterinary versions because the drug companies make it as a human drug. It's just not common or popular. So that intrigued me. I started looking at the research and watching the research, and I have a friend who is a pharmacist, and he called me with some really cool stuff. He sent me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 scientific references for ivermectin's properties to inhibit virus at the cellular level. So here's one of the studies. This comes from a journal, Antiviral Research, Volume 178, June of 2020. It is called Ivermectin is an Inhibitor of the COVID-19 Causative Virus, SARS-CoV-2 in vitro. A single treatment was able to affect 5,000-fold reduction in virus at 48 hours in cell culture. Now, also, I hear people go, it's not approved by the FDA. Ivermectin is absolutely FDA approved, but it's approved for parasitic infections. But drug companies today are constantly repurposing their drugs. And it's called for off-label use. And if there's some validity to back it up, they can do it. And when we look at the research here that he sent me, I want to read you again. This is the title of the study. Ivermectin is an inhibitor of the COVID-19 causative virus SARS-CoV-2. It's not might be. It is. So why would I not take it? But to accuse me of pushing some evil scheme because I took these things. And by the way, you would also think that people would go, oh, shit, well, something worked, Phil, because you seem fine. Like, you'd think they'd be that, but no, they're so locked in. They're so fixated. Now, on a final note, my mom is vaccinated, and she got COVID. She just went for her second test yesterday, and she had a very, very mild case, thankfully. So I believe in the vaccination. I'm glad my mom got vaccinated. She's 80-some-odd years old. Thankfully, no risk factors, but yeah, sure, vaccinate her. You know, she's not going to have kids anytime soon, so I'm not worried about her reproduction being affected by the mRNA. So again, I'm never just blanketed on one side or the other. We got to look at every situation, and we got to make some choices based on what we believe and what we know. So I just wanted to share that with you because I don't want you guys to polarize. I don't want you to get sucked in by clients who insist something is true and the truth is they don't know. They haven't seen enough evidence to know what a preponderance of the evidence shows. They've read an article that they thought was research. The LA Times is not research. The New York Times is not research. The Wall Street Journal is not research. Often they're opinion pieces. And sometimes they reference research, but then you got to look at the research. I've read over 3,500 research journal articles in my career. So there's a skill set to understanding research language. And even with that, this is why I told you at the beginning, all the people in my circle, because I have go-tos to help explain things to me. So never do I make any random choices. I just want you guys to know the polarization is real. And from a career perspective, the worst thing you could do is feed into it at any level. Because I don't, and still look at the reactions. Any thoughts on anything I share or questions?
Just that I agree with you. Staying neutral is the best.
Yeah, Mark, you're surprised by the reaction that I got from people, from trainers, by the way. Trainers who have followed me.
I'd like to say I am surprised, but unfortunately, you know, like, I've witnessed a lot of that myself, and people that shocked me in the beginning, being polarized one way or the other, that I thought were more neutral like myself, just to see that happen, I'm actually not surprised at this point. Glad it was only like 7 out of the 3,600 or 7 out of the 92 that actually replied. Who knows how many out of the 3,600 felt that way but never replied. But
right, and 7 out of the 92 were attacking me venomously. But another number was applauding me for things I never said, which is almost even
right.
Worse.
Right.
They were probably just trying to justify
into what you're saying, and it's their own interpretation or, you know, the feel validated for their own thoughts. And, you know, I mean, I have my thoughts too, but I stay as neutral as possible. Because it is ridiculous. And being a business owner, you know, to me, to polarize one way or the other is business suicide. Because
yeah,
especially
and you know,
immediately takes away half of your business.
Yep. For the better part of my career, I've been in the role of an educator or a commentator or a media personality or a seminar speaker or an author. I have never, ever, ever put out anything that was unresearched or anything that I had to take back. I'm really careful. And that's why what surprises me is these are people who kind of knew that at some level because they have been receiving information from me. They've purchased something from me. They've been my audience. But if even that group is so twisted, and I mean it, that's why I said it's a pathology. Like, I can understand if somebody reads it and has a reaction, but read the email. I just said, here's what I do. And the reason I did it is because in all the years that I've been an educator and a consumer advocate, I've shared truth. So that's what I did. I said, guys, I got COVID. I went for an IV. I got glutathione, which I always do. You know, even before I take a plane trip, I get glutathione. And I talk about glutathione. I have extensive science about glutathione. I did 25 grams of vitamin C. I started taking high levels of B complex and vitamin C orally. I started taking zinc. I put on my Thrive immunity patch. And then when I got the positive test, I was like, okay, now I got to crush this thing. So I got the monoclonal antibodies and I got the ivermectin. And I had one day where I felt like I had the flu. Honestly, I don't want to make light of it, but it wasn't even that bad. Like, it's not like I was paralyzed. I was sweating. I had some fever. But just one day. So I would just think most people would just look at that and go, okay, here's what he did and here's his experience. That doesn't mean that's what they should do, but at least it should make them go, maybe there's something to it. That's all. You know, how much of it was the ivermectin? How much of it was the silver? I don't know. Dr. Bleiweiss also told me, he said, the way the virus infects you is it starts out in your nasal cavity, which is why that's where they test for it. But then it works its way down your throat. And when it gets into your lungs, that's when it becomes a respiratory problem. So he said the best thing you could do if you think you have it is nebulize colloidal silver, nebulize Argentin. You literally breathe it into your lungs. And that way, even if you have the virus, it can't go into your lungs. You're protected. And I did. I nebulized colloidal silver. I know people who ended up on ventilators. They didn't nebulize colloidal silver. So it's just weird to me that I just would think, and by the way, I'm sure most people are receiving it the way that I intended it. I just thought I should bring this up here because it's representative of what's going on. And you guys are in the health field and people are asking you questions. You've got to do a really delicate dance about how you answer them. Roy, you said something earlier. I think you and Mark were talking at the same time.
Oh, no. I said that they were probably just trying to cover for themselves of their own way of thinking. That's why they were, that's what I was responding to, why they were being so negative.
Yeah, which is not unlike, you know, what you've run into when trying to talk to people who are stuck in their ways about the reboot. They're just locked in, right?
Right.
It's frustrating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The same thing. You know, people just try to justify in their own mind, so the only thing they come up with is negative stuff, unfortunately. But, I mean, I'm shocked that people would even write that to you. That's, like, crazy, but none of them were from New York, were they?
I don't know.
Okay.
But you know what? I mean, honestly, I've been in business for 35 years. I have never, ever, ever, ever gotten a reaction like that. And I've tackled controversial subjects over the years. You know, I had anti-aspartame people on the phone with me on the radio. I did debates with, you know, vegans and paleo people. I mean, you know, controversial stuff. I never got anything with this level of venom, ever. So it just says something about our society. And at some level, they're so grounded in their belief of truth and science that they're rejecting truth and science. Like, think about that. They're going, right. No, you got to stick to the science. Don't believe that bullshit. I got that bullshit from science. You're reading an LA Times article. It's crazy, crazy.
Unreal.
All right, anyone else? Any thoughts, comments, questions about anything? I mean, feel free to comment on this. I hope that it struck a vein with you guys. I know this wasn't a specific, you know, how-to call. But I just thought it was important to share because it's representative of what's going on. And had I known, I mean, if you asked me of your 3,600 people, how many people will get mad that you did ivermectin, I would say zero. But, you know, we learn. So, you know, your voice matters and people are listening and not everybody's going to receive the right message in the same way.
Right.
Heather, any thoughts?
Well, I am in the same boat with Mark. I'm not surprised given what I have experienced. I mean, I have lost two long-term personal training clients because I would not tell them one way or the other if I'm vaccinated or not, because I don't feel like it's any of their business. But since I would not tell them, I'm not vaccinated, and but I wouldn't tell them one way or the other, so they said they would not be coming back.
I lost one for that.
Yeah, and I can't speak to whether or not you should tell people. I don't know. Like, if people ask me, I'm always honest. But if they don't ask me, I don't bring it up.
Well, I realized in that moment that with each of them, that if I told them no, I'm not vaccinated, I was going to lose them anyway. So
yeah,
I,
the reaction was the same, because they would assume, yeah, if you're not telling them, then you're not, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I have to even say this. I understand that. Like, if somebody really fears that if they get coronavirus, they're going to die, and they don't want to be around unvaccinated people based on what they've heard, I understand that. I wouldn't argue that. I really wouldn't. I'd like, okay, because when people go, oh, if you don't make people wear masks, I'm not coming in, I go, then don't come in. Like, of course I want them to come in, but I don't want them to come in and complain. I don't want them to come in and be uncomfortable. So this is why I say it's hard to navigate. It's not black and white. It's not simple, you know? Do you tell people you chose to not get vaccinated? You chose? I don't know. I don't know the answers. I just know polarization is not healthy, and it's really an affliction that's affecting our society. And it's scary. It's really scary. When people lose...
I agree with that.
Yeah. When they lose touch with their common sense, their rational thought, that's really scary. So I still think, despite all of it, we're in a great position, because the medical field is not addressing chronic disease right now, and that's the biggest health problem in America. It's not COVID. So we really have tremendous opportunity. We have programs that work. We are so far elevated above other trainers. We can do things that doctors don't do. It's really a good time in terms of having great business potential. But the landscape is filled with landmines, and you just have to do a careful dance.
And I will share that my physician left, and so I have visited with a new personal physician, and she was blown away that I am sitting here. This was just 2 weeks ago. I'm sitting here, 51 years of age. I'm at a healthy weight. I'm not on any medications. I've never been hospitalized for any illness. I've just been hospitalized for surgeries, you know, having my son and a couple of other surgeries that were necessary. She said, I am sitting here in awe. Your blood pressure is good. Your labs are perfect. What do you do? So I shared with her what I do, and she shook her head and she said, no, that can't be it. There's got to be more. No, there.
Like,
really,
what does
isn't.
She think you do? She thinks like you drink a secret juice that you're not sharing with anybody. Like, what does she think?
I don't know what she thought, but she said, this can't be real. You're 51,
yeah.
And she just kept bringing up my age. She kept bringing up my age, and so I asked her at one point, okay, so what magically happened after I turned 50? What magically happened? I turned 50 one day, and all of a sudden, all of the, you know, these things were supposed to happen. And what was supposed to happen when I turned 50? Well, she didn't have an answer for that. But.
Yeah, so this is the real irony. What she's saying to you is you're abnormal because you're normal.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? There's nothing wrong with you, so clearly there's something wrong with you.
Yes. She said, I came in ready to type and type and type about all of your illnesses and all of the things that are that you have trouble with. No, I don't.
Yeah. Tell her you found something wrong with you. You have polarization resistance.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she said, well,
yeah.
I guess I'll see you next year. Is that okay?
Yeah. You know, some of you guys know or have seen me interact with my friend Brasilia, Dr. Brasilia Lazzari. And she is type O, blood type. And it appears that people with type O don't get the coronavirus. And when she found that out, she just started inviting people with coronavirus to come in and get IVs. Like, you know, most of the time they're shunned. You know, you can't come until you get a test that says you don't have it anymore. I just think that's progressive. Like, that's a progressive doctor. Where they're going, rather than just sit home and make sure everybody's protected so that you don't kill them, let's get your immune system to start to fight. And really, that's the key here. Here's another issue that I will not get involved in, but I will say this. It's hard to believe this virus came from nature. I have no conclusion. I can't make one. But based on all the research I've seen and all the viruses that have come to exist, the way this one has specific elements that it attacks, like sense of taste and sense of smell, it's a different level of intelligence. And I'm not drawing a conclusion from that, but I'm saying that's another area where there's, you know, conspiracy theories and arguments. And I can't get involved in that. I can understand it, but what do I know? So I don't share that. I share what I do know. What I do know is I got glutathione and vitamin C. I got the coronavirus. I got antibodies and ivermectin. Nebulized glutathione, Argentin. And there's no evidence around me that I've had any kind of virus. I mean, I'm thankfully fine. Like, great. You know, working out, feeling good. So, you know, we stick to what we know, but we still have to be careful in what we put out there publicly. Let's just recognize the power we have to address what people need most. We can help them get well and become abnormally normal like Heather. Wouldn't that be great if we could get everyone to be as abnormally normal as Heather?
Oh, my.
Yeah, I mean, she probably told her doctor friends, you won't believe it, this woman came in, never seen anything like it, she's 51, she has nothing wrong with it. What? She's an alien. She's got to be from another planet. There's no way.
That's what she made me feel, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And this is why I do make it a point to surround myself with progressive doctors and people who know, so I don't get caught up in that, because I've seen that, I've been exposed to it at medical conferences, at roundtables, but it's nice to kind of come home to my core group because they make sense, as we do. And I think we keep moving forward and do what we do, and the future is ours to take. So let's make it happen until we speak again. Stay neutral. Stay healthy. And be better, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.